Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Moving my head.
Yeah.
I'm laying it off.
Love that too.
I'm pronating.
When you're not supinating.
I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair. I look like a fool.
What the hell do you think you look like shooting them chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass?
Well, we're waiting.
All right, golf fans, welcome back. It is Tuesday. It's time for another two-man scramble podcast. I'm Jeff Hartman, and joining me for the second time to talk about the game of golf, his game of golf, the lore of the game of golf, Kane Dano. What's up, Kane? How's it going?
And that never been better.
That's good. That's great. I mean,
yeah,
we're coming I'm off the NFL. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say I'm honored to be on here a second time.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're back. Yeah, we're coming off of the NFL draft and you're a Steeler fan. So I got to ask you, what'd you think about the 3-day selection process?
Of course, we're going to go 20-0. I loved all the picks.
They look all
plug-in starters, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe except for the last couple guys, but those first four picks or so seem to be potential starters.
Absolutely. Just get the trophy. Let's get that other seventh spot locked in for the trophy and the trophy case, and we'll be good.
Yeah.
We're not here to talk about the Steelers. We're not here to talk about Pittsburgh sports. We're here to talk about the game of golf. So the last time you were on the podcast, which was really early on in the podcast, I actually went back in my notebook and found my notes from the last time I had you on the show. And it's been a long time. And so I had a couple questions for you about your own game. So if those who listen to that podcast, it's going to be a little different vibe to it. How's your game going right now, Kane?
Absolutely terrible. I know I told you I'd never been better at the beginning, but that's just something I normally say. It's not going too well. Been out a couple of times and just trying to work through some things right now.
Well, what are you working on? Like, what's the main issue?
Hitting the ball straight.
Okay. It's just, so it's not like just off the tee. It's not my approach game. Like, it's everything.
Mostly off the tee, you know, okay. And I always, you can't score when you hit a bad tee ball, and it just kind of spraying the ball, not really knowing where the ball is going right now off the tee. And it seems to be like, if I tee the ball up with an iron, or I tee the ball up with a driver, the ball goes where I want maybe about 10% of the time, and that's just not going to do it.
Yeah. So I'm always curious, because for me, like, I've been there, and even earlier this season, I was there. Everyone approaches this differently. I could tell you my approach, but I'm curious what your approach is. So what are you going to do to try and rectify the situation?
I think I'm going to get lessons.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And I've never had like a one-on-one lesson before. And, you know, so maybe that's what I need anyways, like even before this. And I think though I'm looking at that, looking to see like when it fits into my schedule.
Yeah.
And have a guy that I'm going to go to and get a couple of lessons.
Well, good for you. Because I really don't like when people say like, ah, gosh, I'm spraying driver. I need a new driver. I need a new driver.
Yeah.
Like that's not going to fix the problem. I am a guy. Yeah. I will stop playing and I will just practice. Like that's my approach. So my dad, I talk about him all the time on this podcast because he golfs so much. I don't know when the last time he went to a driving range and just hit golf balls. He's a golfer. Like, he just wants to play. So if he's having issues, he's going to work it out on the course. To me, that is like a mental torture, because me going out there and knowing what I'm capable of and yet not executing drives me up a freaking wall. And so I'd rather go to a driving range and like hit a bunch of range rocks and like work it out that way. Is that been your approach, or are you like my dad, which is more like, I'm just going to go out and golf?
When I have time, I want to go to the driving range.
Okay.
And you know, now I'm getting older and stuff, and the time just doesn't seem to be there, and I'd obviously rather be at the golf course than at the driving range.
Yeah.
But the driving range is where I gotta go.
Yeah.
And just to hit balls consistently, you hit a drive out on the golf course, and then you got to wait another 15 minutes at least before you hit your next drive, and
yeah,
you're just not, there's just, it's just not there. Like, it's, you're just guessing. And you're just hoping you find something out there on the golf course. So I like going to the range.
Yeah, for sure. What did you have a good year last year? And then this year, as the new season kicks up, when you don't get to golf as much in the winter, I know you're in Western PA. And so that's a challenge to get out throughout the winter time. Did you have a good season last year?
You know, I don't think I really did.
Okay.
And I think watching my swing on video has hurt my game.
Oh.
Because, you know, you think about it a lot, and you think about what you've seen, you think about what the pros look like, and you don't look like that. And that maybe has played, you know, golf's so mental. And if you have those kind of thoughts running through your head, you're not going to do as well as you can do. And I think last couple years, I've maybe not had been as consistent. There are days when I go out there and I can shoot low 70s.
Mm-hmm.
There's days when I go out there and I'm high 80s.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was last year. I feel like I'm more in the mid 80s right now, high 80s. Like, I don't see myself like getting out of that zone right now. But yeah, I don't think my game was quite where I wanted it to be last year.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing is that the inconsistency is what's frustrating, because like you said, you'll go out and shoot a low 70 score, 74, 73, something along those lines. And then the next time you go, you shoot an 83 and you feel like, I hate this game. So let me ask you this next question. We all struggle in the game of golf. Some struggles are way more drastic than others, depending on the golfer, depending on the issue. What brings you back to the game? Like, there's a lot of people that might say, I don't need this in my life. I don't need the mental torture. I don't need this anguish and me, the self-deprecating thoughts of how I'm not good. I don't need this, but you are like me. You can't quit this stupid game, but why, what keeps you coming? What's the lure of the game of golf for you?
I think, cause I know it's in there. It's in me, like, to go out there and hit a bunch of good shots, have a great time, enjoy it. I love being out there. I mean, even when I'm shooting bad scores. I still try to find a positive side of the game. And, but I know it's there. I know I am still capable of shooting those low scores and going out there and, you know, having a great round.
Yeah, that's so frustrating. The game of golf is so frustrating.
But
no, I totally feel you. I feel you for sure. Something that I want to ask you about, which I saw this, you did this in January. I saw it and was like, I like that. And I did a whole podcast on it. And that was goals for 2024. So what were some of those goals that you set for yourself? Now, here we are at the end of April going into May. What are some of the goals that you've set for yourself, whether it's performance-based or just anything? What are some of your golf goals for this year?
Yeah, I think finding my driver first off and hitting the driver straight and just finding a swing that works.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do, is find a swing that works, find a swing that I can count on. And with that, I think the scores will come down. And my goals are to shoot in the 70s consistently. And, you know, enjoy my time out there by doing so. And outside of that, I mean, I play in some tournaments too here and there, and I want to compete in those and do well in those and not embarrass myself.
Anything else that's kind of more like global? Like, do you have any specific goals? Like, I want to shoot under par or anything like that, or?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to shoot under par. I'm not there to say that. And I can't imagine myself going out there and shooting under par right now. So I like to keep things realistic and not be so disappointed in myself if I can't do something like that. I know shooting in the 70s is very possible for myself, and I can be happy with that. So I'm gonna set the bar kind of low for myself. And hope I can meet those goals and be happy.
Do you track your rounds? How many times you golf a year or anything like that?
Not like I should. And
okay.
So my golf course that I normally would play at, where I would put my gin in and things like that, it has, like, I used to work there. They haven't opened up in the last couple of years because of a owner's dispute. I've never got that gin back and track the scores like I should. So I know there's other ways I can get it, and I just don't do it. But I don't track them like I should.
Yeah,
I'm going to start. I have to. I got to get back into that.
Yeah, this is the first time that I've actually put numbers associated with, like, I want to play this many full rounds, this many nine hole rounds, and I'm falling short of that already.
Well, we live in a terrible area for golf. It's this time of year. And we've had record rainfall in April, and it's been horrendous. I mean, in the back of my mind, I give myself a little bit of a break here because the weather has been so poor that maybe I'm always like this at the beginning of every year. And this year it's just extended because I haven't been able to get out there and play as much as I'd like.
Yeah. I do have to kind of give myself like a little bit of leniency. I went out and played in March, played 18 holes, played awful. I was duck hooking the ball into the woods. Like, where is this coming from? I felt very much the way that you're describing off the tee. Now I feel like I've kind of found some things that have helped me be a little bit more consistent, but I did have to tell myself, my gosh, it's early March. You know, we had a really warm day and it felt like it was May, but still I was like, okay, it's still really early in the season, but we're getting to that point where you can't really use that excuse anymore. So I got to get my stuff together and I got to get it going. I want to ask you about something that I know you do a lot of, because I follow you on social media and you like to go on golf trips. Do you do that yearly or is that just as it fits?
We do it yearly. Yeah. Every year, my buddies and I, we do a golf trip.
How big's your group?
Well, we have been as big as eight, so we keep it pretty small.
Okay.
And this year it's only going to be four of us.
Oh, where are you going this year?
This year we're going to go a little low key, and we're just going to go to Ocean City in hopes of next year going a little bit bigger. So saving a little bit of money this year and just going to Ocean City. We've never been there. We've never golfed there. I have no idea. I've only been there when I was in high school college. and didn't play any golf when I was there. So I have no idea what the golf scene's like in Ocean City.
Ocean City, Maryland?
Yeah, Ocean City, Maryland. Okay. Right.
All right. Yep.
So no idea what it's like there. My buddies have been there a few times, so I'm just along for the ride. And like I said, going to go low key this year in hopes of going big next year.
Hey, there's actually some good golf in Ocean City.
Yeah, there
is some good golf. Now, a lot of those courses might be private or expensive to get on, but there is some good golf in Ocean City. As a Maryland resident, I can say that. What would you say, out of all the trips that you've made, it's the best course you've ever played?
Pinehurst.
Did you play number two?
We did play number two. And number two is brutal. I mean, it's so hard. And unless you are on top of your game, it can be, you can almost want to quit after nine holes. It's that hard for me.
Well,
I mean,
what makes it so challenging is my question.
The greens.
Really?
The greens. And they're just, you hit a good shot, and next thing you know, you've hit the green, and the ball degreens itself and goes into a sand bunker. You know, and you can be putting above the hole, and you're so afraid to putt the ball too hard where the ball would just continue to roll and roll and roll, you know, 20 yards down a fairway almost. And it just plays with your mind so much. And my friend, who's a really good player, tells me it's in my mind so much that it prohibits me from playing well there. But it's awesome going to Pinehurst and seeing what they have there. It's like golf heaven. Like that's how I describe it to my friends and things that have not been there. When you walk around the clubhouse for the first time, and it just opens up to all of these different courses, and the 18th green on number two is there, and the cradle's over to your right, and it's just incredible scenery.
Now, I've talked to a lot of people that go to Pinehurst a lot, and most people say that number two is not their favorite course. Which one is yours out of the group that is your favorite course to play?
Four.
That's like the most common answer I get. What do you like about four?
It's awesome looking. Like, the way it looks, I feel, is just as good as number two, if not better. And it doesn't have the greens that number two does. Yeah. And so it feels like a little more fair. Feels like you can get away with a little bit more, and the fairways seem a little wider, and it's just a really good championship course as well.
Yeah.
And number four and number eight, that is, it's off campus, I guess you could call it. And a little bit of a 10-minute trip to number eight. Number eight is amazing as well.
That's awesome. Is there a trip that you've taken with your buddies, a group trip, that would be your favorite trip that's not Pinehurst?
Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
Myrtle Beach is awesome too. And they have some great courses, Caledonia, True Blue. Those courses stand out, and Tidewater as well. We used to go to Myrtle Beach. That was like our first golf trips, my group. And those trips, I'll never forget. I mean, they're just so fun. We were a little younger. Not that we got ourselves into trouble or anything, but, you know, we were able to play 36 holes and be okay afterwards, where we could, you know, stay up and at least talk for a little bit. Now we're getting to the age where we play 36 holes and we're going to sleep. But that course, the Myrtle Beach, was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, they call it the golf capital of the world. There's like over 100 courses on the Grand Strand. I had the Salty Golfer on my podcast before, and that's like his job, is to help people set up golf packages and stuff. And he said that it's a blast. And I've played in Myrtle, and I've played some of the courses, and you can get some great golf packages in Myrtle Beach, and you can save yourself a lot of money. So you talked about upcoming trips and going big in 2025. These two questions kind of tie themselves together. Do you have upcoming trips, and what's a trip that you're like, I've got to make this trip. Like, I want to make this trip, and it could be more than one.
Yeah, the trip I got to make, I feel, is Scotland.
Yep.
Also, I feel like Bandon Dunes out in Oregon.
Yeah.
Those two trips, I feel like I got to make them at some point. They're just so tough to get to. That's really going big. Those are those are, you know, bucket list kind of trips.
Yeah.
I would love to go to the new one down in Florida, Cabot Citrus, I believe it's called. Just opened up this year, and it looks like a great time down there. So that's kind of on our radar for next year is okay. The Cabot. It's called Cabot Citrus right. Farms.
Where is that in Florida? Do you know?
I think it's right outside of Tampa.
Oh, okay. Cool. But my dad takes a yearly trip now to Orlando with him and his group, and they love it down there for sure. So, man, that's awesome. Like, you've played some really cool courses. Have you ever had a desire to play Pebble or any of those public courses that are really tough and also really expensive to play?
Yeah, of course. Pebble would be up there too. It's, I would say it's the third one on my list of must plays behind Scotland and Bandon Dunes. I'd put Pebble there next.
All right. Let's switch gears a little bit. I want to talk to you about technology in the game of golf. Again, referencing back to a podcast I've done, what's your take on just the overarching technology in golf? I did a podcast about, has technology gone too far in golf? Have we become enamored with numbers and analytics? Whether you're talking about self-adjusting drivers, whether you're talking about all these different, I mean, heck, you promote a lot of this stuff on your own Instagram feed. What's your take on technology in the game?
Yeah, I wish it wouldn't go as far as it's going. It almost seems like it's getting too out of hand, and it's you're relying so much on technology rather than just athletic ability or your ability to swing a golf club anymore. And somebody playing with new set of clubs can be so much better than somebody playing with 5-year-old clubs. You know, it's going to happen. I love the old clubs. I love the way they look. And I wish it would slow down. I wish technology would kind of slow down in terms of, you know, making us hit the ball too far and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cause I can't hit the ball far anymore. I feel like I'm getting further and further behind everybody because of technology.
Do you use analytics yourself? Do you, I know you have, I think you have a swing monitor, don't you? Or some type of swing monitor look at those analytics? Do you utilize those, or is it something that it could be a little bit paralysis by analysis?
Yeah. I think if you don't know how to use it, it's paralysis by analysis. Like you don't know what you're looking at, then that data is not helping you, because how do I know how to use it? And that's the problem. When I look at that data, I don't really know how to use it. I know what it should be. I know what the good players are at, but I don't know how to change it. I don't know what to do to get myself into those numbers. So then I would just become like a guessing game. Yeah. I'm just guessing at what to do. Do this, do that. And let's see if it changes those numbers. And that's never good. Now I'm not swinging my swing. I'm not doing what I should do. And sometimes I go back to, who was it? Who won the US Open there a couple of years ago? But, you know, they just said, like, be an athlete, you know? And I feel like I'm not being an athlete anymore when I look at those numbers.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. What about the drivers that you can adjust and things like that? And people will say that players have been tinkering with clubs forever, that the lead tape. I remember when I was a cart boy in Wheeling, West Virginia at the Wheeling Country Club, I'd clean clubs and you would see all this lead tape on guys' clubs because they want to have more weight at the toe or on the heel. So I guess these self-adjusting drivers are just an easier way of doing it, less messy as well. But at the same time, I always also understand, like, it doesn't seem right that you can just take out a little Allen wrench, screw something and move it. And it's like, oh, look, I fixed my swing. What's your take on the self adjustments that you can make with your equipment?
Yeah, I don't have any problem with it because, again, unless you really know what you're doing, then you're probably just going to screw yourself up later on.
And true.
I set it and forget it kind of thing. You know, it's just I'll try to change the way I swing. Maybe I change it like one time here or there, and that's it. It's set it and forget it, and let's go.
When was the last time you upgraded your golf clubs? Because you mentioned how the equipment changes. Is it just if it's been dramatic, like you said, if you've had, if it's been 5 years since you've done any upgrades, like you're being outpaced by the new equipment. Yeah. When was the last time you upgraded your clubs?
New driver this year.
Oh, what'd you go with?
Which, the Dark Speed, the Cobra Dark Speed.
You like it? I mean, yeah, we know the result. You've talked about your driver a lot today.
Right. So I don't know yet. I like the way it looks.
There you go.
and that counts for something. You know what, when I hit it, it goes. And so I know it's in me. And cause when I hit that thing, it goes really good. It goes far. I get a lot of roll with it too. I've never gotten roll with a driver. I'm a high spin kind of driver where I'm the kind of guy, you go out there in the middle of the fairway, hit the fairway, and the driver somehow spun back 5 yards. And like, how does this happen? I see the pros, they getting like 20, 50 yards roll. Yeah. And my ball's spinning back 5 yards. So I feel like this club is getting me down the fairway further when I do hit it.
Okay. Maybe go to a lower spin golf ball.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what, hey, anything that works, I don't care. I'm going to do it.
Now, we talk about technology, we talk about the analytics. For those that didn't listen to the very first time you were on the show, you're also a high school golf coach. How much do you use from technology and the analytics with your team? This is unique because high school golfers, a lot of times their mental psyche can be very fragile. I was one of those golfers when I was in high school. How much do you use the analytics and the technology for them?
Very, very little.
Okay.
And that's because I feel like once you're in season, that throwing more into these, and I coach girls golf,
right,
throwing more into their minds is, again, paralysis by analysis. It just makes them think so much more. And that's one thing I love about their game, my girls' game, is that they don't seem to think yet. There's no scar tissue. They go out there and they just swing and do what they're like. They'd be athletic swings. And I don't want to put a mess in their head by telling them that, hey, the smash factor is down, whatever, you know, and they wouldn't know what that means anyway. And so I use very little analysis that way.
That's interesting. I was curious about that when I wrote that in my notes. I was like, I wonder if he's using with his team. Now, I do want to give you an opportunity, because we're talking about technology, before we ask a couple more questions to finish out the show. I had you on because you started your own line of rangefinder, Rough Dude, RUFFDOOD, Rough Dude Rangefinders. And you were kind enough to send me one. I've used it. I like it. There's a lot of things that I really like about it, but I didn't even realize this because this isn't the first time I've ever used a rangefinder. I don't know if you know this or not. I've never used one. I used my cell phone before GPS, the 18 Birdies app, which is free, would always give me pretty close. It's pretty close, accurate numbers in terms of front, back, middle, pin stuff, all that good stuff. But this is my first time using a rangefinder. And I was talking with you about this and you said, Jeff, you have no idea how saturated this market was. I did a couple Amazon searches, like, holy crap. There's companies I didn't even know existed that are making rangefinders. So my question is, not only can you plug the product, what differentiates yours from the rest?
Well, my rangefinder is not going to be the best rangefinder out there, but for $80 on Amazon, that's it's a pretty good deal. You know, it has a strong magnet on it. It slope on and off and it can give you yards, meters, and even down to feet. So it's even good for like hunters and stuff like that, if mm-hmm. they wanted to use it. But for $80, I mean, it's a great rangefinder for $80. It gets great reviews on Amazon for an $80 rangefinder. And it's not going to be the best out there. I mean, if you pay $200, $300, $400 for a rangefinder, you're going to get a better product, but it's a great deal. It's just it's a good rangefinder for the price that it's at.
Yeah. I mean, I use that thing and sometimes I could never be a hunter. My gosh. And I'm looking through it, my hands just like shaking like crazy. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Tremors or something.
Yeah.
It's a good rangefinder. I love the fact that it's rechargeable and that you don't have to pump batteries into it. That's a great feature.
And I've never had to recharge mine. I don't know if you have.
I charged it one time and it's still using the same charge. Yeah. So no,
I've got it out of the box. I got it out of the box and I've never charged it. And that's one thing that somebody said on a video of mine. They said that you'll be recharging that thing, you know, every other round, because that's what an $80 rangefinder does. And I've never charged it once. Got it out of the box and still going today. And I bet I've used that thing for hours and hours. I've probably used it for 50 hours. Yeah. It has not died yet.
Yeah. So again, people can go to Amazon, right? Is there anything in particular you want them to search so that they can find it easier?
Like you said, Rough Dude Rangefinder, RUFFDOOD Rangefinder, little dog you'll see there. That's our logo. That's my dog. That's Jack Nicholas. And he's the face of the company there. And if you do that, then you'll run into our rangefinder on Amazon.
Yeah, go check it out. I've been very happy. Like I said, I have nothing to compare it to because I've never been a rangefinder guy. In hell, there's still times where the first time I took it out, I'm concerned as a first time user, did I actually get the pin? Like, did I actually hit the pin with when I'm looking in the rangefinder? And I would actually pace it off to make sure, because I don't know. The one thing you don't want to do is to shoot the tree behind it and you grab two clubs too much. But no, it's a great rangefinder. I highly recommend it to anyone that might be looking to not break the bank yet get a good product from it. All right. I have a last question for you here, Kane, before I let you go. If you notice the Masters ratings were down, and I've talked a lot about pro golf and the fractured element of live pro golf, you know, just all of that crap. I want to ask you a simple question, and that is, the way that golf is now from a professional standpoint, do you feel that you watch as much as you used to or less?
Less.
Is there a reason? Is your life just more chaotic, or is it just the product's not as good?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think that I don't think the product's as good anymore. I think that my life is a little more chaotic. There's a lot of other things to do now. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of other things on TV. And I know ratings are down for things, but, you know, we still watch in other different ways. And people watch maybe a recap on YouTube. And I don't think it means that they didn't see it. They just didn't have time to sit down and watch it. I mean, there's just so many things going on nowadays that people didn't have 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, for me, there's times where it's like, okay, I'm looking at my weekend. When can I get out on the golf course? Or maybe it's during the week. When can I get out there? Unless it's a major, especially the Masters, if it's a Sunday and it's a final round, I'm going golfing. I'd rather go out and play than I would sit there and watch. And I feel like a lot of people might be in the same boat, especially with spring here now and the weather's warming up and you're getting that itch to get out there and play. But you bring up a good point about how there's a lot of options now. And heck, you even throw in YouTube golf. So there's people that would rather watch some of these influencers on YouTube and their tournaments that they have. Like, I think it's the Myrtle Beach. They just did something down in Myrtle Beach where they had a tournament. Some people would rather watch that. And I can't blame them, because a lot of times people are just disgruntled with the PGA Tour. They don't like the broadcast. They think there's too much dead time. There's too many commercials. They don't get to see a lot of shots being made. So yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I don't watch as much.
I think it's becoming more unrelatable now to us. Like, where before the golfers had to go out there and play for that check. And I think that we want to watch that. We want to watch somebody play for the money. And now they're being like handed money. And they're not really, hey, if you finish last place, you finish last place, but you still have a $5 million check coming at you some other way. Yeah. And that takes away some of the, why we wanted to watch it.
For sure. For sure. All right. This has been a great podcast. I appreciate your time. You might have a lot of stuff to plug. You can plug whatever you want. I know you're very active on social media. You can plug those channels. Anything that you're pumping up, now's the time to do it, Kane. Go ahead.
Well, again, Rough Dude Rangefinders, follow us on Instagram. Follow me on Instagram and TikTok. The username is Talk Period Golf, T-O-C Period Golf. That's short for Touch of Class Golf. And follow me on there. And if you're buying a rangefinder, take a look at the Rough Dude rangefinder.
I appreciate it. Kane, as always, thank you for your time. Go out there and keep me up to date with how your game's going and how it's progressing, hoping for the best. But take it easy. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thank you.